Hello and welcome to the movie podcast review of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. My name is Daniel. I am one of your hosts today, and joining alongside me are my fellow apes. It's Shabazz.
I was going to do an ape sound, but then I was like, is that rude to apes? Like, I don't want to upset any apes out there because they could be listening to the show.
They could very well be listening, but I'll be honest, you're upsetting me now that you didn't do
one.
Thought
because you were an ape. And I was like, well, that's kind of rude about yourself, man. Well, be kind to yourself.
You know, tell that to my girlfriend, right?
She always calls you a gorilla.
It's true. And Anthony, how you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing well. I'm not going to do no ape sounds because I'm no ape. Right?
Yeah.
Now you sound like you hate the apes. That's why you're not doing one.
Like, we're considered what? Like alpha apes or something. We are apes in a sense, well, yeah. But we're like higher than yeah. So why would I, you know, become like an ape?
Why would you lower yourself?
Lower myself beneath me.
I yeah, get it. Exactly. I get it. You're yeah. better than you're the racist. Apes. That's cool, okay. man. That's cool. Yeah.
If you don't know you're that
specious.
By now,
you're specious.
If you don't know that by now,
welcome wow. to the show.
We're just human elitists here only. If you're not human, then you don't
why
matter.
You
clearly,
to the show? Yeah.
Well,
get
you
your
don't
sea
matter,
urchin
don't.
Ass out of here. You know.
Wow. Are sea urchins listening to the movie podcast?
You never know.
As well?
They are. We don't want them listening. Yeah. Get sea urchins out of here.
Wow.
You know, I was
okay. Now we
I was
know.
Thinking today, I'm like, if I were any ape from the Planet of the Apes franchise, like, what would, which ape would I be? And I think for me personally, I would be more of a, I'd probably be Cobra because Cobra has like that penchant for vengeance and setting the world on fire. So I think that would be my ape if I were to compare myself to any of the apes in this movie or in the previous franchise.
Got you.
But I want to know, like, what ape would you guys want to be in the franchise?
I love that you didn't even ask us, like, which character. It's like, no, you're just like, no, I'm Cobra. I'm a bad guy in this.
You know, hey, man.
It's
am I a bad guy? Like, you know, they tested on me. I just want a little bit of vengeance.
Human work. Human. Well, it's like, God, I can't get over Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. What a movie. Honestly, I feel like we'd be like Caesar, man. I'd be a chimpanzee. I think Caesar is, you know, the one to look to. But honestly, though, Maurice, who doesn't want to be Maurice? Maurice has a great life, you know, teaching the
I don't know.
Maurice is pretty cool, though. They're,
he's cool.
They're just chill.
He's cool, but
they're
like
chill.
But he's,
you know?
He's an orangutan, right? I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Orangutan's not good enough for you.
Yeah,
I apologize.
I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan of them because they're slower and like they got mm-hmm. dad bods all the time. And
yeah.
Not like I don't have a dad bod, but like just saying, like, if I'm going for something, I'm going for like a gorilla, you know? Just
I was gonna say, I don't trust the gorillas in this world, though. The gorillas in this world are like the cops.
Is that weird in every movie, in every show, whenever like animals are assuming human roles,
yeah,
the gorillas are the bad guys. Like,
that's true.
Let's look back to Mighty Joe Young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a good guy.
Well,
he was.
I've never watched my.
Yeah, I guess.
I know so. Of it, but I haven't watched it.
Charlize Theron, man, you got to watch it.
Charlize Theron, yeah,
she's not
a gorilla. The one.
I suspect. I suspect he's a bad guy off screen, though, because
no, he's a good guy. Always. But he's just huge.
Gorillas are used as guards, like because of their massive yeah. stature. Like, I get why they are looked at as a bad guy, and I think they just get the what is it, the shit end of the stick of the. No pun intended for apes throwing shit.
We really said, man. Oh, to the chimps listening to the yeah, show. I'm so
they're
sorry.
Like, they're
we do actually like
out
you
right now. By the yeah. way, not only are the chimpanzees and the apes upset at the moment, but so are all the people that love leaving comments on our episodes. Like, we don't want to hear this in the beginning. We just want the review. So they're upset as well.
And we just want the review. So you know what? How about this? How about we give it to them just really quickly, though? Of course, this is the movie podcast. You could catch brand new episodes all throughout the week, including interviews, reviews, and discussions on all the latest movies and series. We were lucky to do some interviews for this very movie. So tomorrow on the movie podcast feed and on YouTube, you'll be able to catch our sit-down discussion with Owen Teague and Kevin Durand. They were here in Toronto. We got to sit down with them for 10 minutes, and it is just full of hijinks. So it's a really fun interview. So make sure
it's a fun time.
Make sure you tune in for that. We had a really great time with them. Of course, this film is releasing in theaters on May 10th. And I want to say thank you to our friends at 20th Century Studios Canada for inviting us to watch it and to participate in the reviews. Of course, if you like everything that we're doing here on the Movie Podcast, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, give us 5 stars, join our Patreon if you want some exclusive episodes, and if you want to help us keep the lights and the mics on here, you could also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. So that goes a long way as well. Shay, you have something to add?
Yeah, I just want to remind people that for a movie like this, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, a lot of people are looking forward to it. And if you actually like what Daniel said, if you actually subscribe to wherever you can listen to us and wherever you can see us, you could have been someone lucky enough to go to the advanced screening for this movie through our show. And by the end of our review, you could have been like, oh man, yeah, they were right. Or they were stupid and wrong. So, hey, again, it pays to watch and listen to the show and check out our socials as well, because yeah, you could have won a advanced screening in Canada. So you'd have to fly here. We don't pay for flights. People ask for that a lot, but we don't pay for your flight.
No, we don't. But also, if you were lucky enough to be one of the winners in Toronto, guess what? Kevin Duran and Owen Teague were also at that screening to surprise everyone. So,
yeah,
you know, that was a surprise that they're at the screening yesterday. So there you go. But let's get right into it. Of course, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is the fourth in this new rebooted trilogy. This is directed by Wes Ball. So he is taking over directing duties for Matt Reeves, who has gone on now to do, obviously, the Batman film, which we love very, very much. This film, like I said, stars Kevin Duran, Owen Teague, Freya Allen, who has been on the show before, and William H. Macy playing a human character. We're going to get into all of that and more. Shay, start us off with your first reactions to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is beautiful and strong. This is a really welcome addition to this already enormous franchise. I mean, if you count the Tim Burton film, this is the 10th Planet of the Apes movie that we're getting. Now, I'm going to be totally honest here. I have not really seen the movies from the 60s and beyond. I think my first foray really was the Tim Burton film. And as a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, I was like, this is a weird movie. I don't know if I really like it. I'll be honest with you. And, yeah. then, you know, you jump into the Matt Reeves or the, sorry, is it Reese? Who directed the first one again? Was it Rupert?
It's Rupert Wyatt, Rupert, I believe. Wyatt,
right? Yeah. So Rupert Wyatt directed Rise, and then Matt Reeves, you know, took over for Dawn and War. And man, that trilogy is phenomenal. I think that trilogy, we hear so often it being described as the Batman, the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, where it carries a very similar, you know, trajectory of films. Like I love Rise. I absolutely adore Dawn. I think it's my favorite. And then I really like War as well. There's some parts of War that I find a bit slower, but overall really like it. So I was a little nervous kind of getting into Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes because, you know, it's the fourth film. We're watching this after so many years after the last one. It's also the first Disney distributed film as well. So they're taking their own different liberties here with how they're going to make this film production wise as well. But I'm pleasantly surprised. We have a new cast. We have a new crew kind of making this film as well. No one really is returning from the previous film. I don't think any producers are either, but Wes Ball is here and he is ready to take this franchise and take it to new heights. And I think he did a phenomenal job of it. We have a great cast. We have Owen Teague, Freya Allen, and Kevin Durand all playing different roles. And again, there's a lot more characters in this movie that really get their time to shine. But what I loved so much about this movie is the dynamic between almost all of them. A couple of my complaints about this film are, I don't think, and it's maybe it's unfair to compare, but I mean, I think at the same time, it is fair to compare. It doesn't reach the highs of the Matt Reeves trilogy or the original trilogy that we kind of got a few years ago. I think this movie is absolutely fantastic, but those movies, I think, still have a bar that this movie is still just kind of below it. And it's not to say this is not a good movie. It's just, it didn't reach those heights for me. I also think it takes way, way, way too long to get to Proximus, our main villain here, Mr. Kevin Durand. By the time we get to him, it's not a very long role either. And it kind of just feels like, okay, we get him in these great moments. He definitely leaves a lasting impact, but you're just kind of wondering, man, I wish from the get-go, from the beginning, we saw more of him. And it's a long film as well. It's just about 2.5 hours. So you really start to feel the length of this movie also, which can, you know, when there's a lot of beautiful scenery shots happening, I think us three, when we were watching the film, we can appreciate that and be like, wow, I can't believe they're shooting this outdoors, or the effects of the CG looks so amazing that like Weta keeps pushing the boundary. And again, you have movies like Avatar that come out where they really make you believe in these blue alien, these Na'vi, and apes and monkeys are something that we can actually connect with and see that there's so many times where we're just like, wow. We were shocked. We were blown away as to how lifelike these creatures are looking, because it's insane. But again, some of these issues I have here, but overall, it's a movie that I really, really enjoyed, and I'm excited to talk more about it with you guys.
It's funny you mentioned lifelike, because it's not just lifelike anymore. It's like human-like, because this is being set hundreds of years after, many generations after the original trilogy of this film of Caesar. These apes are now evolving. They speak a lot more like humans do, where if you remember in the original trilogy, it was a lot more hoarse or broken or things like that. So to see them evolving on that scale is really cool. And it's gorgeous. I mean, like we've spoken about this a lot on main episodes. Anthony, I know, has mentioned it too, where he's just like, you know, we've peaked when it comes like to apes. Like this is, they're always going to look amazing, and they look incredible throughout this. And I think Wes Ball, who comes from a VFX background, who's done big trilogy, like he's done obviously the Maze Runner films, he's coming into this with a background where you're like, you know what, let's do something where we have an established world and we're really putting the apes at the forefront. And as we've seen in the original trilogy of this, it's weird calling something the original trilogy without thinking of Star Wars, but as we've seen in the original trilogy of these apes films, that they've transitioned from being, you know, human focused to being more ape focused and having Caesar lead. This film is exactly that. The apes are leading this franchise. We are having, you know, we have character like Freya Allen, we have William H. Macy who do show up, but the apes are the core of the story. And I think it works really well because a lot of this film, and you know, Shay, you mentioned the length of it being longer. The first hour of this film really is just, you know, setting up what is to come next and having the building blocks for what is going to be hopefully this next trilogy of films. But I'll talk more about my thoughts in a second. Anthony, please jump on in. Give us your thoughts on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, you're right, Daniel. The CG for apes have been better and better every year. It's like an iPad, like, or an iPhone. Every year it gets slightly better and slightly better, and this one is even better. It's been what, 7 years since the last Planet of the Apes, so it's been a great, it's been a good time of away from these guys and then coming back to them. So it's nice to see them on the big screen. And really, like, this movie kind of hits that fantasy element of Planet of the Apes, where the first three were grounded because it took place in, we'll say, a modern time where we see it happen. Now it's like 200 years. So now you kind of get to explore the fantasy aspect of these apes ruling and living in this world. And the one thing I love about the last franchise was that it legitimized these apes. Like, it made these apes feel really good to see on screen, and they had really good stories to tell, and the connection and the animation of CG, as well as just the photorealistic look of these apes, just look great. And I think Wes Ball took that and continued that story with this Kingdom, because you are getting a glimpse of what 200 years have looked like for these apes in this movie. You are going to see them living in their tribes. You're going to see them battling it out with other tribes. And again, horses are a big thing. I'm still waiting for, you know, Rise of the Horses. Cause I'm like, these horses, they're like, if it's not a human, it's an ape and so on. But it's just, they are now living in this world. They are the main, I guess, predator or apex predator of this world.
Top of the food chain now, right?
Top of the food chain. And we see, there's a scene where you see the humans and they're literally caveman style, right? They're just,
yeah, it's almost like they're gazelles in the wild. Yes, right, you're like, oh my god, speak, like they shoot up when they see, yeah,
they don't talk, they just kind of look bewildered at what's happening. They don't even acknowledge the apes, they're just like animals. So I love this lore that they're building. It was a long process to get to, for sure, because again, he is establishing a bigger picture here, but I do enjoy everything that we got from it. I enjoyed the performances. I enjoyed the animation and the cinematography and the CG and the score. I think everything works well, and there's so many things that you pick from it, but it is missing that groundness that we got from the last two films, where you just felt like, this feels good. Like, you can see the struggle between humans and ape. And maybe we'll see that future in the franchise, but I think what we have right now is a good, starting point to continue this franchise. Because literally, we came out of the movie and we were talking to someone who passed by who said, I hope this movie doesn't ruin the franchise. I'm like, dude, the franchise wasn't always in a good spot, because if you look at the 60s and 70s Planet of the Apes, they were just people dressed as apes. Like, this is the closest we'll ever get to photorealistic apes talking on screen with human reactions. Like, you see it in their face, their eyes, their just how they, the lighting, it just looks too good. And it's amazing to think that 30 years ago or 40 years ago, we were stuck with that, and now we get this. But I think that
even like 20 years ago, right? Like, look at the Tim Burton one, which, right? I feel like
Tim Burton tried his best to recreate that, but
yeah. I mean, those suits looked really good. The Tim Burton suits looked good, right? They just
the makeup and effects and everything. Yes, like there's no denying that the Tim Burton films looked as good as they could without the advancements of technology.
Yeah, and I just think that the Planet of the Apes franchise is in a really good spot for the next 20 years. Like, I don't ever see it becoming, a throwaway cinema or just a campy lost form. I really think that they got the mold, and they can continue telling those stories. I don't ever think it'll be like something like Fast and the Furious. Like, there's no monkeys going to be driving cars or horses and going crazy with its CG ballistic.
Why not? I want that now. Now I want that. I want the whole Brazil scene, but with horses, just them taking a big bank vault.
I do want the rise of the horses. I want that to be the continuation. I want them to be the smart ones.
Horses on their hind legs.
I'm telling you, these monkeys are going to find a way to get to space. It's all going to come full circle and go back to the original films from the 60s.
It seems like they are leading to that too.
Yeah, we don't know. Anthony, exactly what you were saying, something that I love so much about just being in this world is, like, it almost felt like I was listening to ASMR at some points, because of just how how beautiful the world sounds. It feels like such a lived-in environment. So I was almost just like, I'm watching like a National Geographic documentary right now. Like, I'm just so immersed in this world and seeing this monkey tribe, they're like the eagle bearers and they have to go get their eggs. And this is, we saw this clip at CinemaCon, and this a part of it is actually online now too for you to see. But Noah and his friends are basically having to go to get an egg, and that's kind of like their getting a knife and going into the wild moment, where it's like they're coming of age, they need to have an egg, they need to protect this egg so they can raise it and have it part of their, to have it as their eagle in the clan, right? And I think that's so cool to see that. And again, it reminds me so much of Avatar, and I think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and Avatar the Way of Water have a lot of similar DNA, where you feel like you're just transported and you're watching it. And I love Owen Teague so much as Noah, because he is somebody who is just trying to figure it out. And he's young. He's a kid still. And he just wants to, do right by his father and obviously honor his mom. And it's so interesting to hear about these dynamics. But again, at the end of the day, they're monkeys. And it's so cool to see that. And I'm watching this and we're watching this and it doesn't feel weird. And again, it's such a testament to how this trilogy how the original trilogy built up this world, that we are now just like, yeah, monkeys talking. I totally believe it. It does not feel weird to me. The same way a 9-foot-tall Na'vi speaking does not feel weird to me either, because they've earned that with the world building that they've done. And, I think where, things kind of go off and how Noah feels responsible to what the events that kind of set off the rest of the film go, I think that's a lot for him to bear. And I really loved Owen Teague's performance in this, for him to be our kind of our Caesar through this, our you know, our eyes. And he's not supposed to be Caesar. He's not supposed to be the one leading our revolution or anything like that. It really is a different story that we're telling. And I think that's so fun to see. Shay is completely right, though. I think Proximus, who is really fun, he is very intense and scary. And Kevin Durant, you know, he does the voice in our interview, so look forward to that. But I think Kevin Durant's performance as Proximus is so damn great and intimidating, and him being on this pursuit of I want knowledge, I want to learn, I want to be like those humans that I've heard so much about in the mythology. And I think that's a really cool premise, that now being so many generations removed from the original films, we can now have this lore, and I'm so interested to see. I'm like, okay, like what does he want, what is he trying to get? And I think that's what's really fun. But yeah, I wish there was way more of him, and I wish we got to him a little bit sooner, because the scenes that he is on screen, he is so impactful, and it's so damn good. One of the other things I love so much about this film, other than it just being absolutely beautiful and just breathtaking to look at, is the fact that the legacy of Caesar is not forgotten. If you are someone going into this, you're like, no, I don't really care, because you know Caesar had his films and it's done. No, his presence is felt throughout all of this. Caesar has become like the Jesus Christ figure of this world, and it's so interesting to see how his mythology is being interpreted by different apes, where we'll have apes like Rocca in this film who see him one way, and we have people like Proximus who see Caesar another way. And it really does echo how we look at different figures and political figures and religious figures throughout history, that you know, we'll take the teachings of one, we'll look at these teachings, but we'll ignore these ones, and you know, we'll kind of craft whatever mythology we want to suit our own, you know, selfish ambitions. And I think that's really cool how this film explores a lot of that. But other than that, I think as the first film of a new trilogy, I think there's a lot that it needed to establish. Definitely you feel the pace at some points, but what it does to get me excited, and especially where this film ends off for where things are going to go, I think we have potentially another all-timer trilogy coming up, right? I mean, we have, you know, look at Rise. Rise was a success when it came out, and Dawn happened, and we are just like, holy shit, they are doing something special. And I really hope West Ball, we know he has his next gig booked with Legend of Zelda. I really hope if he comes back, or whoever is coming in to take the reins of this franchise now, they really, you know, continue with where this is ending off to tell an amazing, amazing story.
I do want to say, you know, West Ball will be directing, you know, the Zelda film. What you see in this movie, just the landscape, whatever he has planned for Hyrule and Zelda and Link, is going to be astonishing, because he knows how to create those environments, because you see those environments in this movie. It's kind of like this practice ground for him.
I agree. Like,
man, Freya Allen as Zelda looks, she just looks so much like Zelda. Let's do it. Right? Like, let's do it.
Campaign for that. Let's campaign that.
I'm not too sure who would be Link, but I know, you know, Freya Allen had
Owen Teague for Link.
Hiya!
And they just,
and then they just make an apes movie while they're doing this.
Zelda the Secret Apes movie. Yes.
Zelda but 100%, you're right, Anthony, right? Like, there's so many moments I'm looking at just the cinematography of this film, and I'm just like, holy shit, if this is Hyrule, just seeing the forestry, seeing the towers, I'm like, oh my God, these are like the towers in Breath of the Wild. It's crazy.
I'm seeing Kevin Durant as Ganondorf now, too. Like, I'm just
seeing it all. Kevin Durant as Ganondorf would be amazing.
Like,
please.
This is if you're all kind of this. Working. Like, I feel like this is all kind of happening. He kind of did make that movie just without making it.
Listen, when we were, you know, in his presence today, in his most righteous presence today, I definitely, if he was to say like, I'm Ganondorf, I'm like, I believe you, dude.
I'm like, yeah, totally.
That what he's able to pull off with his voice is truly incredible. And I think if you want somebody with a very intimidating stature, I mean, there he is right there. Yeah, Anthony nailed it. I mean, whatever's going to come with the Legend of Zelda film, we already know automatically it's going to be a damn incredible looking movie.
I'm just going to talk quickly about the score as well. I know we've kind of touched on it, but now John Paisano has come in, and it reminded me, I love, there's a lot of great throwbacks to the original score from Rise, mm-hmm. all the way down, like the subtle piano notes that are just kind of playing. I love that whenever they're referencing Caesar or referencing those previous films, in a way that kind of that melody kind of plays through. Something that I think that's also important, and it's a question that I think people have kind of asked a lot about about this movie is, do I have to have seen the previous entries, like all the way down to the 70s? No, definitely not. I don't think you even have to have watched the last trilogy that came here with Rise, because a lot of it is kind of answered in the opening text, and then the movie kind of just starts afresh. So
yeah,
you could totally start with this movie and have a totally different experience with it, but you're not going to be lost. You're not going to be like, oh, wait, what? I don't know what's happening. Why are these apes on horses? Like, it is, it is pretty explained, and if you can get past that element of it, but they do answer a lot of that, because again, this is taking many generations later. So some of those questions of how this happened and why is this happening are brought up in this movie, and the it makes sense when it's happening. So if you do want a bit more background as to, hey, how are they talking, definitely then watch that trilogy. But if you're cool to just jump in, you're not going to feel lost.
So I know we had the, so you know, why are those monkeys on horses, and I really like those chipmunks are flying planes. So that that was our god, that's a deep cut for, you know, long time listeners and watchers of the movie podcast. And then
velociraptors flying really fast as well.
Yeah, that's another one from a couple of years ago. My god. I'm butchering this name, the cinematographer, because we spoke about their work a lot.
Julia
Gulapadosh.
Is it Gulapadosh?
Gulapadosh, who is the cinematographer who worked with Wes Ball on the Maze Runner films, yeah. And he did the recent Shazam. Jumanji films as well too, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and yeah, John Paisano, fantastic score for this, of course. If only, you know, in a world of so many blockbusters that we get, if only all of them could be like the Apes trilogy, the Apes franchise, where we are getting for the last over, you know, for 12 years now, we've been getting consistently incredible films, and they've only been getting better. They've only been looking better. And I feel like they come and they go, but there's such a fan base for them. So I'm really hoping that this does well, but let's get to our final recommendation. Shabazz, I'm going to get you to start us off.
I'd say watch it. I think this is a fantastic film. I think it's a great lead up to the summer. I mean, we're getting into that season already with summer blockbusters coming out. It's a great time. If you have watched any of the previous Apes film, you kind of know what you're getting in for. Like Daniel mentioned, the fandom is there. They're a silent group. They're like the silence, you know, like as they keep saying in this movie. So it's like that. Just show up, watch the movie, have a great time. Watch it in wonderment. I wish we got to see it in IMAX, because this is the first film also being released for IMAX, not re-released like how War was. So I really wish you got to see it in that full screen. But we watched it in AVX here at Cineplex, and it looked phenomenal. The colors and everything were so great. Definitely go watch it.
I'm right there with you. This is a watch it for me. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is just breathtaking. It's beautiful. I truly think it's one of the most astounding visual achievements that we've gone on screen in a long time. And I think this is the best looking CG that we've gone since Avatar: The Way of Water. This is the type of movie that you have a good time going to movies to the watch, and it makes me so excited to see what is to come. Anthony, please take us on home.
It's also watch it for me, and that's it.
I love it. That's it. Short and sweet, you know. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Of course, this is the Movie Podcast, and this was our review of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. If you like what we're doing, make sure you follow us on social media at the Movie Podcast. You can see all of the fun stuff that we get up to. Check out our show notes, because you can subscribe to us on YouTube. You could join our Discord. We'll be opening up a Planet of the Apes room that you can swing around in, obviously, this week after you watch the movie. We'll be talking about all of spoilers, so watch out for that, and look forward to all of the other cool stuff that we have coming up. You know, it's May, we're getting to the summer movies, and it's not stopping here on the Movie Podcast. You're already in the right place. So thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting us, and thank you for watching our review. That was this time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next.